In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thy brother was dead and is alive. Thy brother was lost and is found. And so rejoice. This is Jesus' message to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees who had come to him and had found that he was spending all of his time with publicans and sinners, people who did not follow the law of Moses or even the law of decency, who lusted after the things of the world and were constantly, as we would say today, on the make to be important, to be recognized. The things they loved were not the things of God. And yet, those are the kinds of people that Jesus spent so much of his time with. And the scribes and the Pharisees resented it. They were decent men and women. They followed the law of Moses. Remember the Pharisee who went up to the temple and was able to say plainly and without any cause to doubt that someone would come and say, "No, you don't do that." He did all of those things. He does all of the good and decent things that are required. But the thing about the coming of the incarnate Son of God is that he did not come into the world in order to raise sinners up to the level of decent human beings, the scribes and the Pharisees. In a real way, it's difficult to begin to engage in the most significant parts of the spiritual life until the struggle not to be completely bound by our passions to the point that we've lost our free will, that battle must already have been fought. For many of us, we have to begin the spiritual life by doing battle with passions that keep us from being decent human beings. Others may not realize it, but we know it ourselves. Now, God did not come into the world and die on the cross and arise from the dead and send the Holy Spirit just so that we could live our lives as decent human beings. There is a higher calling. Jesus comes to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Not repentance so that they can be righteous with the kind of Old Testament righteousness that the Pharisees understood well, but righteous as Jesus Christ himself, the incarnate Son of God, is righteous, with the fulfillment of our humanity that goes far beyond the law and the code of decency that our society follows around us. And so with this resentment of the scribes and the Pharisees, Jesus responds to them, and he responds to them with the parable of the prodigal son. Oftentimes we forget that the parable in Scripture is addressed to the scribes and Pharisees. We listen to it knowing that we have departed from the high Christian life, the life that is a life like Christ, the Son of God himself, that we can live only because we have united ourselves to him and we have departed from that life and been prodigal and gone into the world and lived like swine, amongst the swine. And so for us, when we come to confession, we want to return to that high Christian life. But originally, this parable was addressed to the scribes and the Pharisees. And in the parable, there is the Father. Who is the Father? God. God is the Father in the parable. And God has two kinds of sons, of children, two kinds of people. Jesus Christ has two kinds of people that he is calling to him to unite them to the Father, to have them return to the Father through him. On the one hand, there are the righteous, and on the other hand, there are the sinners. And he is concerned for both of these sons in the parable. The one son stays in the house of the father, but the other wants to be able to go out into the world. And the father gives him his part of the inheritance so that he can go out into the world on his own. And he lives a prodigal life, remembering that prodigal means to waste, to take something that is valuable and just waste it, to be prodigal with it. He does that and he returns, and his father is joyful and kills the fatted calf and has dancing and celebration. And the elder son resents all of it because he has stayed in the house of the father. This is how it is. So long as we remain in the house of our heavenly father, we are able to have self-determination in our lives. Orthodox often emphasize, when we're trying to explain the Orthodox faith to those who aren't Orthodox, that it is our understanding that God did not create us as autonomous beings, able to be self-directed without communion and oneness with God himself. Being at one with God is necessary in order for us to be real human beings. But it's also good to remember, as Theophylact points out, that so long as we remain with the Father, we do have self-determination. We are able to choose. We are free. It is that condition that Christ returns to us. If we go astray, it is that condition that we lose, and then we become prodigal, leave our Father's house, no longer are at one in our lives with how he is, and as a result, we lose our self-determination. Of course, the irony is that the prodigal son sets out on his own, especially and particularly because he wants self-determination. But the fact of the matter is, as we all know by experience, when we set out in the wrong direction and do things that are wrong, we immediately lose our self-determination. We have, when we sin, when we miss the mark, a sense of drunken power. But it has nothing to do with reality. We are at the mercy of our sins, our passions, whatever they are. And we have to repent of them and return to the house of the Father. So it's true that so long as we remain at one with God the Father through Christ, we are able to determine whether or not we react to provocation from others with anger. Or we can leave our Father's house and express the anger. We are free to do that. And if we say that we aren't, then we're lying about the reality of things. We are not determined and controlled by our passions and our sins. We can do violence against them. The kingdom of God is taken by violence. By violence against our sins. By violence against the temptation to go out drunk with our passions and lose our ability to determine our own lives. So Jesus is addressing himself to the scribes and the Pharisees with concern, with respect. We have a tendency to want to simplify the Gospels, divide them into the good guys and the bad guys. And who are the Pharisees and the scribes? They're the bad guys. Well, quite a few of our Lord's disciples came from the scribes and the Pharisees. Many scribes and Pharisees did recognize, did respond, either immediately or later on in their life, to the things that he had said. And it was their decency and their response to parables like this one, where Jesus appeals to the fact that if you are a decent and righteous human being, ought you not to rejoice on the repentance of a sinner? Don't resent the fact that so much time is spent by Jesus with those who are the open sinners or the secret sinners. Christ has come to call sinners to repentance, not just to the level of decency. As I've said many times, the Christian faith is not a self-development or self-improvement program where once we achieve a level of decency, we could say, well, progress at last. At least I'm decent the way others are decent. That has nothing to do with the Christian faith. Christ comes to call sinners not to common decency. He calls us to live our lives in the way that God created us to live, to reveal his presence in the world. That's our calling as Christians. And it has nothing to do with being prideful about at last having achieved the level of common decency. In the end, one of the things that we want to do when we hear the parable of the prodigal son is to avoid the temptation to identify with it entirely as an isolated prodigal alone in the, as Father Tom used to say in his famous sermon, in the pig pen with a life that is devoted to the way of life of the pig pen, and respond to that and return. That is one thing that can be had from hearing the parable of the prodigal son. But this is an incredibly rich parable, and there are a lot of lessons here. This time around, let's consider the fact that we, as mainly decent people who have a difficult time in coming up with the things that we ought to confess when we go to confession, because after all, for the most part, we are not great sinners. We are more like the scribes and the Pharisees, basically righteous people. We come to confession and we have a difficulty coming up with the things that we ought to confess. But we have to remember that we are not called to a level of common decency. We are called to transform ourselves within ourselves so that we can be the presence of God in the world through Christ. And this we can only do by our love of God. Are we decent out of self-respect and pride? Or can we go beyond that, become true Christians, present Christ in the world by lives of compassion and loving others with God's own love? That's the standard that we should apply to ourselves when we prepare for confession. Spiritual life is not, for each one of us, about me. Spiritual life for a Christian is about others. It is about the love of others. It is about compassion for others, and thereby it is about the love of God. What do we do that causes our brother or our sister to stumble? On what occasions have we done things or said things in order to take a little bit of something for ourselves, even while trying to maintain our common decency? Jesus teaches us that we cannot love God if we don't love our brothers and our sisters. Not in a phony kind of way, but in a real and genuine way, in a self-sacrificial way. Have we lived like that? Because if we haven't, then we are prodigal from the house of our Heavenly Father. We are prodigal from living a life like Christ. And that should be our standard. Not the decency of ourselves so that we can look ourselves in the mirror without cringing, but the standard of looking instead at Christ himself and making our spiritual effort to become more and more like him, that he might increase within us and that we ourselves might decrease. That's the kind of message that a Christian will take from the story of the prodigal son. How far have I strayed from the Father's house, from the house of the Heavenly Father? To what degree have I failed to reveal Christ, but instead made the effort to reveal myself? Those are the things that we need to repent of. And that's why we hear the parable of the prodigal son as we prepare to enter into Great Lent, to make our strongest spiritual effort to return to the house of the Father. We are Orthodox Christians. We don't teach that human beings are by nature corrupt and that Christ came into the world to perform the miracle of raising sinful, disgusting, and corrupt people up to the level of decency. Converts can be confused about this. It's possible that you could believe that if you are used to believing that we are all damned and corrupt and we can't do anything good, and that the level is just to be a decent human being, and that's miraculous. We don't teach that. That's where we start. How can you even see who Christ is? How can you even see your brothers and sisters to love them if you haven't at least reached the level of decency? The elder son is jealous. He doesn't love his father. He has stayed in the father's house. He is righteous, but if he loved his father, he would rejoice along with the rest of the household that his brother had returned. Our spiritual lives is about others. It is not about ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.